Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, we welcome as a guest, again, actually, Micaiah Bilger from LifeNews.com. She's a staff writer there, and we're going to focus on the 2016 presidential election, especially when it comes to abortion, Trump versus Clinton, on the subject of abortion. Micaiah, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, now, one person could cynically say, well, you know, we've got the, you know, two New York liberals, one to choose from here in the presidential election. One could say it that way. On the other hand, Donald Trump is definitely expressing pro-life positions and saying that he will choose pro-life judges. And more importantly, he certainly selected a pro-life vice presidential candidate, running mate. Now, with Hillary Clinton, she is completely committed to the abortion position, even wanting to overturn the old Hyde Amendment, which would force taxpayers to pay for abortions despite their conscience objections or conscientious objections to the same. So I want you to go ahead and wax eloquent on the whole subject of the 2016 presidential election when it comes to abortion.
Sure. It's been definitely interesting, and you've laid out some of the details already, but the two candidates and the two parties, really, there's a very stark contrast when it comes to abortion. You can see that just with the parties themselves. I'll talk about the candidates in a minute, but the Democratic Party just passed its most extreme pro-abortion platform in history, calling for taxpayer funding of abortion. Specifically saying that they support Planned Parenthood, which does more abortions than anyone else in the country. And that's in contrast to the Republican Party platform, which they just adopted, which is the most pro-life platform ever. And the Republicans are saying that the unborn child has a fundamental individual right to life, which cannot be infringed. So we're seeing such extremes between the Republicans and the Democrats. And the same holds true with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. There have been some questions as far as Trump goes, because in the past he's made some kind of wishy-washy remarks on abortion.
Oh, no, he's made out-and-out pro-abortion type statements as well.
Yes, that's true. In the past he has. And he is now saying that he is pro-life. The good thing about Trump, what we're seeing is that people are saying he has had a conversion experience, that he is pro-life now, and he picked a very strong pro-life vice presidential candidate, running mate, in Mike Pence. Mike Pence is the Indiana governor currently. He has been a champion for the pro-life cause.
Yes.
And so that's a good sign. And with Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, very pro-abortion, falling in line with Planned Parenthood, with NARAL, these groups that want to see absolutely no restrictions on abortion whatsoever, and also wanting taxpayers to pay for them. So Clinton is very extreme, more extreme than we've seen, I think, ever before in a presidential candidate.
Even more extreme than President Obama.
I would argue so, because with Obama, I mean, he has been called the most pro-abortion candidate or pro-abortion president in history, but with Clinton, we are seeing she's pushing the envelope even further, calling for all-out taxpayer funding of abortion, which is something that Obama did not do, even though some of his actions have led that way. She also, if she would get into office, would have the opportunity to nominate Supreme Court justices, which could uphold Roe versus Wade for decades to come. So with Clinton, I think the potential damage that could be done to unborn babies in the future would be even worse than what we've seen under Obama.
Okay, now, the question is, how do we know we can trust Trump? That's a question I hear among friends and colleagues and so forth. And I'm just curious your answer.
Sure, that is a good question, and that's one that I know a lot of people have been rolling in their minds because of his statements in the past about abortion. I would just say, you know, we have to, for one thing, look at the what choices we have. We have Trump and we have Clinton for the most part. Those are the two most viable candidates. And we have one who, Trump, who is saying that he's pro-life, saying that he supports unborn life, and his vice presidential running mate is, you know, vocally pro-life. And then we have Clinton, who's calling for all-out taxpayer funding of abortion, calling for abortion on demand with absolutely no restrictions whatsoever. So I think as much as people are hesitating about how strong Trump will be, we know where Clinton stands and how strong she's going to be for the pro-abortion side. So it's a difficult issue, but I think people really have to weigh what choices they have this election.
You know, it's interesting when I think about people changing on the subject of abortion, changing their perspective, and I don't want to liken Donald Trump to Ronald Reagan, but I will say this, Ronald Reagan was so pro-abortion rights that earlier in his career, he signed a very liberal law on abortion and then saw the effect and saw how women were using abortions as essentially birth control after the fact. And he became, by conviction, pro-life. And then even during the big debate between him and Carter, he was asked why he wasn't pro-choice. And he said, well, first of all, I happen to notice that everybody who's pro-choice has already been born. Now, he said that in 1980, you know, during the debate, the one and only debate between him and Carter. And I've never forgotten that line. And so, it, you know, it was an example, though, of somebody who really did change. George H.W. Bush, Reagan's running mate, also touted the pro-choice position. You know, I think, he, in fact, when he was running against Reagan, he positioned himself as being pro-choice, whereas Reagan, you know, was a fuddy-duddy and, you know, behind the times, and he was pro-life. And yet George H.W. Bush came to become very strong pro-life and a very strong proponent for adoption as a pro-life alternative to abortion. So people can change. Again, not that Trump is in those categories. You know, one always has to wonder when it comes to politicians. You always have to kind of be a little bit wary because you don't know if it, you know, if they're just saying what they want to say so that they'll tickle your ears for your vote, or if this is what they really believe. Your comments.
That's true. But I think what you said is very true, that people do change, and we've seen that in all levels on the abortion issue, from abortionists who've been leaving the industry and coming to the pro-life side and telling, you know, the horrible things that went on and the horrible things that they did and having conversions. So if we see abortionists converting and becoming pro-life and fighting for unborn babies, I think we have to at least give Trump the benefit of the doubt and saying, you know, that he has changed his heart on unborn life. And then again, I just can't emphasize enough that his vice presidential running mate, Mike Pence, is very pro-life, and that is a good sign. A very good sign about Trump's where he's going to, where his position is,
sure,
on
sure.
the issue. Because I mean,
well, that's an excellent point, because, you know, because personnel is policy. And I'll say this: this radio station emanates or broadcasts from Broward County, Florida, and several years ago, I think it was 2008 or thereabouts, Mike Pence was awarded, he spoke at the Broward County Right to Life and then was awarded the annual Guardian of Life Award for his outspoken pro-life activities. So that does speak well. Now, let me ask you a question. Since you deal with articles related to the whole life issue and you have a good handle on the kind of the overall issue, would you say that the conversion generally in America, there would be more people who are pro-choice, if I use that term, I don't like that term, more pro-abortion rights, to pro-life, or vice versa? Which way do you see more people changing over time?
Oh, I definitely see more people becoming pro-life. I think, and I think the polls show this, that people, a majority of Americans, oppose most abortions. And I think there are a lot of people that are kind of on the fence and they want to say, well, I'm pro-choice because I haven't really thought a lot about abortion, and they just spout the rhetoric, I think it's a woman's right to choose, because that's what they've heard and they haven't really thought about the issue. But when pro-lifers start talking to them, when they start seeing ultrasound photos or videos
ultrasounds.
On their babies, when they start researching the facts and realizing that this isn't a choice, the choice is killing a life, the facts are on the pro-life side. And I think people who are kind of in the mushy middle, when they start to learn the truth, are becoming pro-life. So education is so important in the pro-life movement because of that, because I think people just don't think a lot about the issue and are not aware. And when they become aware, they're becoming pro-life.
And there's a lot at stake here. So, for example, I've seen situations where people who are so committed to the pro-abortion side of things, they want to force Catholic hospitals to do abortions or evangelical hospitals against their conscience. They want to do all sorts of things that, you know, just promote the whole pro-abortion ethic, despite the conscientious objections of those who are pro-life.
Yes, they really aren't pro-choice, as they say, and I don't like to use that term either, because they're not for choice. They are for, as you said, forcing hospitals to do abortions. I think there's a lawsuit right now involving the ACLU and a Catholic hospital group in California involving the hospital not doing abortions. And the ACLU is suing and saying that the hospital should be required to do abortions. So we're seeing them force this agenda. It's not a choice. They want people to accept abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy, and they're also pushing for our tax dollars to pay for them. This is not about choice. This is about abortion.
Well, and the real prize for the 2016 presidential election will be shaping the Supreme Court, as you say, you know, even for decades to come. And abortion is front and center in the battle royale that will happen from that. But just comment on that, how that's the big prize.
Sure. There are as many as 4, I think maybe even 5 U.S. Supreme Court seats that could be open within the next 8 years. And so that is a majority of the court. So we have the potential of seeing the next president possibly controlling the U.S. Supreme Court for years to come. Of course, those nominations that the president makes do have to pass through the Senate and get approved, but it's still a very scary thought that if Hillary Clinton gets in office, even for 4 years, she could nominate very pro-abortion judges who will be on the court for, you know, 10, 15 years, who knows how long, and control abortion politics from the bench for many years to come. So it's a very scary picture. We know that Hillary Clinton has promised to appoint justices who will uphold Roe versus Wade. She has promised the abortion industry that. So we don't want to see the court going pro-abortion, because that there's a potential to stop any pro-life laws from passing and becoming into law under a president like Hillary Clinton, because of her power to control the court through nominating justices.
So there's a great deal at stake, and of course that would imply, or it would apply to the Senate as well, because they're the ones who confirm or reject said nominees. Micaiah Bilger, thank you so much for being with us. LifeNews.com for more information. God bless you now.
Thank you.